Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we're going to talk about recovering after a big event. As you guys know, I went down to or up to or I went across the states to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I ran in the dome for the second year in a row, this year for the 48-hour event. I purposely did it the last 2 days, and that was for a reason. So I went in with the mindset for probably the first time ever in my life in a race that I was going to podium. I knew that it was going to take a lot of hard work. I knew it was going to take really a mindset. And that was kind of the biggest thing for me going in, was that I needed my mind to be in a different realm if I was going to actually get up on top of the podium. Got there on Thursday, got my packet and everything. There was a gal named Debbie Habig-Schlobin, and I know I just butchered her name. Sorry, Debbie. She was a race walker. She was there with a good friend, Marcia Rasmussen, and another guy doing race walk, and it was her first time, I believe, going ultra distance, and she did phenomenal. Laid down 126 miles in 48 hours on, I think it was the first days of the six-day event. I think it was Monday and Tuesday that she laid it down, finishing on Wednesday. So she laid up 460 laps, 126 miles. And that looked like the time to break. And so it was pretty wild. I'm a week out now, and I was just kind of musing to my wife that, you know, a week ago today, I was in the dome. And like this morning, it was funny. We went to the beach this morning for what I would call a recovery stroll. And I was telling her, you know, 1 week ago today, here I was in the dome. I hadn't quite hit 80 miles yet. I was still way down in 20th place. Had two guys that were just massing up the miles, Ori Frazier and Tom Andrews, in front of me. And I'm sitting there going, okay, this is going to be a tall order, because I knew that Debbie had already done 126 miles, and David knew that David Ellsburn had already just finished his 115 miles when I started. And I knew that Kim Sargent, who is a phenomenal, phenomenal multi-day runner, had been in third place. She finished my second day. She finished Saturday morning, and she had finished with 104 miles, and just phenomenal watching, you know, these people do it. But I was watching Ori and Tom just, you know, cook around the track and thinking, okay, tall order trying to get up to, my first podium finish. So I knew what I had to do to get there, and it was really amazing to me, observing myself pushing through all the discomforts, all the pains, all the little niggles that you just go, okay, is that something? Should I be concerned about that? Nope, just finish this lap. It was probably Saturday afternoon that my mantra became stay in this lap. I believe I was kind of pushing up towards the 300 lap mark, which, you know, is always kind of significant when you hit, you know, 100, 200, 300. And I just knew that I just had to stay steady. I was looking at the leaderboard. I pulled up my phone and was looking at the leaderboard, and there were 9 people between 363 and 367 laps. So I was like, okay, so I can move way, way up the leaderboard if I can just get to lap number 368. And when you're on lap 300, you know, it doesn't sound that much because, you know, it's only a 0.27 mile lap. But the mental toughness that you have to stay focused on just this lap and going this lap, this lap, this lap. And it was like a constant mantra for myself, stay in this lap. Don't think about the next one. Stay in this lap. And that's what I did. I at some point I caught up to both Ori and Tom. I think they both laid down for a rest, and that was one of my other strategies was I'm not leaving the track. I know I'm not the fastest out here. I know I'm not the most athletic out here, but I'm just not. If I don't ever leave the track, then, you know, the athletic and the fast are going to have to lay up at some point because you can't just keep on pushing that. And I had seen that evidence, you know, throughout the race as I watched some phenomenal athletes come in and pull up, you know, going, I mean, speeds that, like, they're like a fantasy to me. But, you know, there was no way that I would ever go that fast. These guys were just hauling. But the thing that I noticed with all these speedsters is they reached a breaking point. And when they reached a breaking point, you know, each one of them probably could have gone on and hit their goals. But they stopped. When they hit the breaking point, they stopped. And so for me, it was like hit the breaking point and keep on going through. Hit the breaking point, keep on marching on. Because it didn't matter how fast it was going to get done. It was hit the breaking point and keep moving on. And that's really all I did was just keep on moving on for 48 hours. As you guys know, you know, from last week's podcast, came out on top, still blowing my mind. But, you know, here's some of the numbers. I always laugh when I hear people go, well, sub 2,400 miles is easy. Sure it is. Okay. So 66 out of the 147 competitors at the Dome ran over 100 miles. Okay. So let that sink in. 66 people over 100 miles. 7 were sub 24. 3 of them were in the 24-hour race. The leader of them all was a young gal, Angela Moss, who went out and just killed it. I mean, she was one of the few who she hit her rough points, but she finished her 100 miles in 1837.51. And she was phenomenal, but she kept on going. So she ended up winning the whole 24-hour period because, unlike many people, she didn't stop. So the next two guys finished their 24-hour race, and they finished in 22:25:27 and 22:53:30. One of those guys was a guy that was probably on track to run a sub-20, maybe even sub-19. He was fast. He was booking around the track, but he broke about probably 18 hours in and was reduced to a shuffle until he got to his 100-miler in about 22:53. So still a phenomenal 100-miler in 22:53, but only 6 athletes total managed a sub 2,400-miler in the 10-day race. The winner from Japan finished his first 100 miles in 22:17:32, and then proceeded to run 7 more 100 milers. Let that sink in for a second. So 19 of the 10-day runners had 100 milers, and, you know, really they varied from the fast one of 22. There was a 24:42, there was a 28:25, and then lots of much slower 100 milers after that. In the 6th day, there was actually one runner also who did a sub 24-100 miles, and that was Julia Ratinkin. And I know I just got her name just butchered. She was amazing. Phenomenal runner from Europe, and she ran 23:35:01. There was another guy ran 25:39:39. Ivo Majetic, who's amazing race walker, finished his first 100 miles in 27:45:45. So I think that's pretty phenomenal. So, you know, great times there. In the 72-hour, there were no runners who finished sub 24, but there were 8 that finished with 100 milers. With 100 miles. In the 48-hour, there were no runners who finished sub-24. Or no, there was one runner. Garrett McHugh finished sub-24 in 23:49:43. His very first 100-miler, and we're going to have him on here in a couple weeks with Emma Bruno, who also finished her first 100-miler. There was 100-miler sub-24 in the 48-milers. Very interesting to me. I actually had the third fastest 100-mile time in the 48 miles and won. So 31, 25, 30 for my 100 miles. And pretty amazing. So this is how the numbers stacked up for a track race. There were seven sub-24 100-milers. There were nine 24 to 30-hour 100-milers. There were 15 30 to 36-hour 100-milers. And there were 35 that were 36-plus hours 100 miles. So, you know, you might ask, you know, so what does all this have to do with mentally recovering? One, I just want you to see that it is not easy to finish 100 miles in any time. In any location, in any format, it's not easy to run 100 miles. Think about it this way. Some of the top runners, like, you don't get into Western states because you were okay, all right? It's a lottery thing. You know, the top 50, 60 runners all win their way into the race. There were 369 entries. There were only 92 who finished sub-24. And that's the best of the best of the best. So, yeah, the mindset. Let's just go with the mindset here. To finish 100 miles is as much mental as it is physical. Or, as Yogi Berra said, finishing a 100-miler is 90% physical and 100% mental. So, you know, he never said that because he didn't say that about ultramarathons. He actually said something about baseball that wasn't even close to that. But we'll just go with Yogi Berra. You know, it takes a lot mentally to finish 100 miles. So it is not something that you're just going to chance yourself by. It's going to take a lot of training physically. But one of the things that I think that a lot of ultra runners forget about is it takes a lot of training mentally. You know, when I went into the 48-hour, mentally, I was ready to stay up for as long as I possibly physically could before I started the weaving and bouncing off of objects along the track. And so for me, mentally, it was how long can I maintain my mindset of just finish this lap, just finish this lap, start the next one, finish this lap, start the next one, finish this lap, start the next one. I'll have the same mindset when I go to Haynesport on a mile track, which outside, which is going to be a little different mentally because you're going to have to deal with the elements. And so I'm going to have to build up a whole different mental ball game for Haynesport. But, you know, I'm really kind of grooving on the 48 miles, not just because I finished on the podium, but because I really like I like it better than a 24-hour because it's not just trying to keep moving for one night. It's keeping moving for two nights. And how do you do it efficiently? How do you do it so that you're not breaking your body completely because you still want to finish a little bit strong? And I really, really grooved on the 48-hour time frame. So I really, really had a lot of fun. It was great. But now it's time to mentally recover. So today on my beach, I would call it a hard, fast walk. My big thing was, okay, reset the brain and get things back into a balance because I still have to function in my business. I still have to function as a husband. I still have to function following Jesus. I still have to function in a lot of different areas of my life, my relationships, my friendships. I still have to be able to function in these well and be able to recover mentally from a really difficult adventure and then be able to go on. And this is kind of, you know, I finished my UESCA coaching last December and I haven't really figured out what I want to do as a coach, but I'm kind of leaning towards, if I ever do officially launch, that I'm going to take on athletes and coach athletes. When I do decide to roll out the, you know, I'm going to be a coach, I want to coach people that succeed at that race and then be able to go on to the next one and not be broken. The big thing about the ultra running sport is being able to do it and do it time and time and time and time and time again. And so, you know, one day I'll roll out my my hat and say I'm an ultra running coach and start taking on runners. I don't know that, when that's going to be. I still haven't even figured out if I want to monetize it or if I want to do it just like we do with this podcast. If you want to contribute to the podcast, we've got a Patreon, we've got a Ko-fi. Please go to either one. The link will always be in the podcast notes. If you want to support it, that's fantastic. We want a podcast that's around for people to be able to listen to on their long runs, get a little bit of a tip out of it. And so here's your tip, your long-awaited tip. You waited for, 15 minutes for this. Please pay attention to recovering mentally as well as physically. When we go out and we do these long things, it takes a build-up mentally to get to the event, and it takes a build-up mentally when you're in the event. And one of the biggest things when we're doing these things, it's a selfish endeavor. So it's very much, we're very self-centered. It's very much about us. And then we have to get back to reality because life is not about being self-centered. The person who is always selfish and always wants things for themselves is not the person that other people look at and go, "Ooh, I want to be just like that when I grow up." No, the people that most people look at are the selfless people, the people that give of themselves, who are able to give of themselves. So the big thing that I would say is concentrate fiercely on putting everything you have into yourself during that race. Recover from that quickly so that you can be the selfless person that people like to be around. And that's my biggest tip. And you know what? With that, I think I'll just kind of end it. You've gotten a smorgasbord here. You've gotten numbers, which Lord knows I love. You've gotten my approach going into the race, which is weird, but it's there. You got a selfish advertisement that, yes, you can support us with Ko-fi.com. And you've gotten the recovery tip to beat all recovery tips because I've never read anybody talk about recovering mentally so that you can become selfless again and take your eyes off of yourself and become selfless again so that you can go out in society and be somebody that people want to be around. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.